Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries daily worldwide over the internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on billions for the bankers and debts for the people right after this. You know, in 1787, the writers of our Constitution put in this clause at Article 1, Section 10. It says, no state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debt. Now, that clause follows the biblical injunction on just weights and balances that we see in Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. You know, private business is carried on in gold and silver coin. It's public business that's conducted in commercial paper. And that commercial paper are things like stocks and bonds, Federal Reserve notes, credit cards, debt, and usury. Well, in 1965, our Congress said that there's no difference in the value of gold and silver coin and that of clad coin or currency. And you know, that's very true when we're dealing with banks, government, and commercial industries. But out here in the real world, out in the marketplace, there's a 7-to-1 difference in the purchasing power of gold over paper money. And there's a 7-to-1 difference in the taxes that are due on that paper money versus gold coin. Now, you know, God and our founding fathers didn't give us gold and silver coin for no good purpose. They knew, and they knew as a matter of law, that gold and silver coin was absolutely necessary for us to deal in order for you and I to establish our property rights. Well, neither did our Congress and politicians take our gold and silver coin away from us for no good reason either. They knew, and they knew full well when they did it back in 1933, that in order to subjugate a free people, that they would first have to take away the people's gold and silver coin in order to take away their property rights and destroy those property rights. Now, if you and I intend to regain our rights, duties, and capacities, then we must first regain our property and property rights. And that's because property is the legal foundation for all of our liberties. So let me show you how to do just that. That's in our business school, which is now on compact disc for adult homeschoolers. Now, if you'd like more information about our private business school, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package first? That's the place to start. Doesn't cost anything. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's informative, it's entertaining, it's educational, and it's free of charge. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Our business school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org. Click onto the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. That's georgegordon.org. All right, in the seventh and final program that we're dealing with here with the bankers, I said, let me show you the 17 laws in the scripture that deal with economics. And a statement that comes from the Creator himself. You know, he said, there's a statement here in Mark 10, verses 28, verses 31. It's one of the 10 or 12 statutes that deal with blessings. And one of the first things he says, well, I'm going to give you these blessings. Well, a blessing is a benefit. It's a benefit that you're going to receive. So if I'm going to give you some benefit, I'm going to give you some economic advantage. And then some of these economic advantages that he talks about here, he said, then Peter began to say to him, well, Lo, we have left all and we followed you. And put another way, hey, we left the state of Texas, California, or Florida, and now we're following you and we're practicing your law. And Jesus answered and he said, well, truly I say unto you, there's no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Speaking of lands, he says, I'll give you 100 times. If you give up Florida, then I'll give you 100 times what you're giving up. Furthermore, I'll give it to you now in this time before you die. You don't have to wait until you go to heaven to be with Jesus to get your benefit. You get it right now before you die. Now, there are 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. When I mention that to people, they kind of... And then I point out there's 2.5 million laws that you got from your government in California, your city in Sacramento, you know, your state, California, and your United States of America, 2.5 million laws. God runs the whole damn universe on 759. 759 runs the whole universe, for crying out loud. Don't tell me now that you can't practice 759. You've got 2,000 laws in your traffic code, and you got a driver's license. And then you signed the driver's license and promised that you'd practice all 2,000 of them. That's 3 times more laws than the entire biblical law combined. All 759 of them. You have more in your traffic code. All right, so let's come off of it. There isn't any reason why we can't practice 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. And he says, I'll give you 100 times whatever it is that you lose. Now, as it deals with these blessings over here, for instance, in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14, he says, "It'll come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Eternal, to observe to do all of his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Eternal will set you on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you will hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field, and blessed shall be the fruit of your body," and on it goes. So you read that in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14. There's your blessings, there's your benefits. That's what you get for doing this law. Now, Barack Obama hasn't got anything like that to offer, and the bankers don't have anything that's even remotely comparable. Now, most of us prefer politics, most of us prefer economics and banking. And I'm not here to tell you not to, that's your choice in life. But I didn't make any money off of politics, economics, or banking. But I've made good money off of practicing the Ten Commandments, and I want to recommend it to you. So there's number one, that's the blessings that you receive. Now, number two is called credit. There's a statute in here that deals with credit. And there's about, see how many statutes there are, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven statutes that deal with credit. And he says here in Leviticus 25, 23 through 54, "The land shall not be sold forever, because the land is mine and your strangers and sojourners with me." Oh my God, how are we going to be able to conduct real estate transactions if the land can't be bought, sold, and traded? It says, "If a man sells a dwelling house in a walled city, then he can redeem it within a whole year." So if you're in the city limits of Sacramento, California, you can redeem it within 1 year. When you're lending money to somebody, at the end of 7 years, you shall make a release. And so if the guy owes you money at the end of 7 years, every 7 years, everybody in the United States of America has to be free and clear. Isn't that amazing? That's a wild new concept. No 30-year mortgage contracts. It was Franklin Roosevelt that changed the law back in 1935. Longest mortgage you could get in this country was 7 years. And Roosevelt stretched it out to 10. Last time I saw a number, you could get one now 40 years, interest only. You buy a house and you just pay the interest. You never pay the principal. You never own the house. You just pay rent and call yourself a homeowner. You talk about a virgin whore. Talk about an oxymoron, huh? Homeowner. Now, there is such a thing as ownership. There is such a thing as property and property rights. And there are laws here that regulate and govern those. And then this credit statute over here is one of those. And in Deuteronomy 23, verses 19 and 20, "You shall not lend upon usury to your brother, usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. Unto a stranger you can lend upon usury, but not to a fellow citizen, not to a brother." And furthermore, in Deuteronomy 24:6, "You can't take collateral. No man shall take the neither or the upper millstone to pledge, for it takes a man's life to pledge." Now, there's eight of these laws that deal with credit. And if you follow these credit laws, and you follow that blessing statute over there, in other words, if you'll practice the Ten Commandments and the statutes, and then if you'll practice these credit statutes, don't charge usury and interest, don't pay it. Don't buy, sell, and trade land. Stay out of the real estate business. And, you know, you probably would be two steps closer out of the 17 steps to starting to straighten your finances out and starting to make some money. And without debt. You know, when a guy's in debt, $100,000, and he's got a balance sheet with $200,000 on it, he says to himself, "Well, I have $100,000. And the truth is, he doesn't have $100,000. That's an illusion. He thinks he does. It is true that the difference between two and one is one. But the first time you miss a payment, they take that $100,000 away from you. It's called collateral. And under this law, it says, don't charge collateral. Don't take collateral. Now, I contend that we can practice these credit statutes. We can practice these blessing statutes. We can do it right here on planet Earth today. You can do it right here in your hometown. And I'm doing them, and they work all right for me. I'm not complaining about them. All right, now let's take a look at the third one over here. It's called Firstborn and First Fruits. Firstborn and First Fruits, number 42. Let's see where we're at here. There we go. And this is an economic law that deals with agriculture. And he said, "The Eternal spoke unto Moses, and he said, You sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both man and beast, is mine." Now, when the first fruits come up, everything that parts the matrix belongs to God. And that is a male. That is the firstborn male. So let's say you're in the cattle business. And then I've got a heifer, and she's coming in. This is her very first calf. It turns out to be a male calf. And that calf belongs to God. That was what he said. So we have to give that one up. Then all the rest of them belong to me. We don't practice that in this country. Come on, wake up. Smell the coffee here. When they're born, we ignore that law. We don't practice that. Never have. Now, I started doing that some years back, and I found out that pays off pretty well. And it doesn't cost me all that much, even if it didn't pay, but it actually paid me pretty darn handsomely, and I'm just happy as a clam with high tide. And in Exodus 34, 19, and 20, all that opens the matrix is mine. Every firstling among the cattle, whether it's an ox or a sheep, that's a male. But the firstling of an ass you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you redeem him not, then shall you break his neck. And all the firstborn of the sons, or your sons, shall you redeem. And none shall appear before me empty. And so I redeemed my firstborn son, and I redeem all of my cattle. And by practicing this statute, now if you're not in the cattle business and you don't have them, you don't need to worry about it. Isn't that special? You know, if you're a dentist or a doctor or you're a plumber or a carpenter and you don't have any livestock, you don't need, except for your firstborn son, you don't need to be concerned about it. But if you've got livestock, well, then this is a law for you. And that's your third economic law. Let's try another one. Fruit trees. Now, you know, you might not have any fruit trees, but I've got a couple of three out here. And this is a pretty common sense agricultural law. Out of the ground made the Eternal to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Eternal commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, because in the day you eat thereof you shall surely die. Satan came along and said, oh, no, you won't die. Well, he died. He's dead today. And he went on using that as a type, and by the time he got to Leviticus 19, 23 through 25, when you come into the land, you shall have planted all manner of trees, and you shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. 3 years shall it be uncircumcised unto you, and it shall not be eaten of. But in the fourth year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy to praise the Eternal, and in the fifth year you shall eat the fruit thereof. So we don't eat off of a fruit tree until it's 5 years old. And it's the fifth year when that tree bears fruit that we eat off of it. So tuck that one away in your heart. And I know, and you're sitting there saying, well, why can't I have it in the first, second, third, and fourth year? And the answer is because you were told not to. But in the fifth year, you can eat the fruit off of it. Now, try another one over here. Gifts, bribes, and rewards. And this is where all of the politicians come into play. They're all taking bribes. And it says here, you shall take no gift, because a gift blinds the eyes of the wise and perverts the words of the righteous. And in Deuteronomy 10:17, because the Eternal, your God, is a God of gods and a Lord of lords, and he regards not the persons nor takes reward. You can't bribe God, and he's telling you, don't let anybody bribe you either. Don't pay extortion. Don't pay blackmail. That was about six statutes on that. See, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I got 7 statutes in here. The campaign contributions that these corporations make to our politicians, those are bribes, and there's a quid pro quo. And when Merck and Pfizer give campaign contributions to politicians, they expect those politicians to vote when bills come up that affect that industry. Not whether or not it's good for 300 million Americans, it's, is that good for one or two corporations? And those are the corporations that are giving us money. And now that's graft, that's bribery, that's corruption, that's as common as pig tracks in a barnyard. And we were told, don't do that. So you and I can quit anytime we want to. Now there's two more that deal with Hebrew servants and hired servants. Let's see what those are all about. When we deal with Hebrew servants, we're dealing with white Anglo-Saxons. And when we're dealing with hired servants, we can be dealing with anybody. And in Exodus 21, verses 26 and 27, if a man smites the eye of his servant, or the eye of his maid, that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. And if he smites out his manservant's tooth or his maidservant's tooth, he shall let him go for his tooth's sake. And in Exodus 21, verses 1 through 6, he says, now these are the judgments which you shall set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. And if his master has given him a wife, and she's borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. But if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and children, I won't go out free, then his master shall bring him to the judges, and he shall bring him to the door, or to the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. You ever seen these guys running around today with holes in their ears? Remember those old pirate movies? And you got this pirate, and he's got a hole in his ear, and wearing an earring? And that's where this idea comes from. It's called bond servitude. When people couldn't take care of themselves, they'd sell themselves into bond servitude. Today, we sell ourselves into bond servitude to the state by way of a Social Security account. The state owns us, and then the state takes care of us. Isn't that special? They give you welfare and food stamps and aid to families with dependent children, Social Security, unemployment insurance, workman's compensation. Hell, there's 108 benefits that you get from the civil law state. But conversely, there's another economic modality or methodology here called property and property rights. And people are property. And the 13th Amendment simply transferred the ownership of that property from you or your master to a state called California, Washington, or Oregon. And all that means is that today, for instance, in the state of Washington, they've got a Department of Human Resources. And a human resource is a human being who works for the state. And when he gets worn out, his children take the place of the guy that died and the guy that's retired. And that was called bond servitude in the olden days. Today, we you know, we have a modern term or modern terms and a modern practice that instead of private people owning people, it's the state that owns us. And then when you want a job, the employer goes to the state to rent you from the state. The state. Get that? Well, you didn't want to work on a plantation for a master, and so now you can work for your government. That's what it really boils down to. Now, why don't we go back and start thinking about practicing these old-timey laws? I know they sound kind of archaic and kind of crazy. But, you know, I can practice this law. I don't have to have a Social Security number. I don't have to participate in welfare, food stamps, aid to families with dependent children, and all these welfare benefits. You can if you want to. Hey, listen, if you can't take care of yourself, then you need a master. I don't deny it. And if you need a master, I guess the state of California is a pretty good master. Well, then don't complain about them. I hear people complaining all the time about the state is interfering in my private decisions. And then they're telling me that I got to have compulsory health care. Son, if you can't take care of yourself, I guess you need compulsory health care. If you can't take care of yourself in your old age, I guess you need Social Security. If you can't, you know, if you can't employ yourself or keep yourself occupied, I guess you need unemployment insurance. But what about those few people out here who can take care of themselves? I know it's kind of a wild new idea. Second one deals with hired servants. Now, one is a bond servant, and the other is a hired servant. Now, these hired servants have to be paid at the end of every day. I mean, it's kind of crazy. I don't deny it. He's, see if we got this right here, Deuteronomy 15. If your brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto you and serve you 6 years, then in the seventh year you shall let him go for free. In Deuteronomy 24, you shall not oppress a hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of your brethren or of the strangers that's in the land. At his day you shall give him his hire, neither shall the sun go down upon it, because he's poor and he sets his heart upon it, lest he cry against you unto the eternal, and it be a sin unto you. So, if you're in bond servitude, you don't have to be paid at the end of every day. You have to be taken care of. That's where you get board and room. The common thing was is that you sold yourself into bond servitude when you couldn't take care of yourself. And then, at the end of 7 years, you have to be turned free. If you're a hired servant, you have to be paid every day at the end of the day. Now, when was the last time you got paid at the end of every day? Hell, they don't pay you until the end of the week, or at least, in many cases, the end of 2 weeks, and in some cases, as much as a month. Then they keep your vacation pay, right? And then they give you that at the end of the year. Well, what that boils down to is that the guy that's paying you, the guy that's hiring you, he's working off of your labor and making a profit off of it today, but he's not paying you for that for a week, 2 weeks, or a month. And in the case of vacation pay, he keeps a portion of that for as much as a year, working off of your money. God requires that you be paid at the end of every day, and then that's your money. I don't know who came up with the idea of paying you at the end of it. I used to work on a dairy. He used to pay us once a month. Once a month. So the boss got my labor for 29 days, and then he paid me. Well, the first day of labor, he had 30 days of my labor before he paid me, and then the second day at 29 days, and 28 and 27, and he was using my labor. I produced the wealth. He went out and used it, and he didn't pay me. Well, not until he had used my labor for 30 days, and then he turned around and paid me. Now your creator comes along and says, don't do that. Pay this guy at the end of every day. It's inconvenient, but it doesn't steal from him. Now let's take a look at inheritance. An inheritance is a part and parcel with economics. You leave an inheritance to your children's children. And you, if you're the firstborn son, you get a double portion. And every member of the family is entitled to a portion of the inheritance unless he disqualifies himself, like the prodigal son. And even in that case, the prodigal son got paid. He just took it out and squandered it all. But you ought not to disinherit your children, unless, of course, your children won't practice the law. Now, if you brought your children up and trained them in the way they should go, they should be practicing the law. If you're practicing the law, you should have some money. If you had some money when you die, you should leave it to your children, not to the state, not to the church, not to PBS, not to the greenies, not to anybody except those of your own family. Now, if you've got land, that land should be passed on to your firstborn son, and then that inheritance passes on to his firstborn son, and then to his firstborn son, and so on down the line. We once found a piece of ground in Norway. The history of it dates back 1,600 years, passed down from father to son for 1,600 years. That's quite a story. Those people are practicing the inheritance law. You see that with monarchies. You see that with Queen Elizabeth and with her parents and so on down the line. They practice the inheritance law. The commoners out here typically don't practice that. They practice inheritance tax. For most of you, there will be no inheritance. The money you pay into Social Security when you die, that does not pass on to your heirs. The state gets that. The state is your beneficiary. In most people's lives, the state is their god and the state is their beneficiary. And that violates this inheritance statute, of which there's 1, 2, 3. See how many statutes are in here? 4, 5, 6, 7. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 statutes on inheritance. 17. 17 statutes in here on inheritance. And it's more of a subject than I'm going to cover here in 3 or 4 minutes. But it's one of those 17 economic laws in the scripture that if you don't practice it, then you're not going to get the benefits or the blessings that come from it. Now remember, a blessing is a benefit. An inheritance is a benefit. You're not entitled to an inheritance because you are an heir. You're entitled to the inheritance because you qualify for that inheritance. It is true you have to be an heir. You have to be in the line of inheritance. You got to be born correctly. But just because you're born correctly doesn't mean you can't be disinherited. And when we look in the scripture, we find that God, who has an inheritance for everybody, says, some of you people aren't going to get your inheritance. Some of you people are going to end up like the story of the 10 virgins over here. 5 of them are wise and 5 of them are foolish. Just because you're one of the virgins doesn't mean that you're going to get the inheritance or the benefits that go with it. So tuck that one away in your heart. So inheritance is important, and you need to pass that on to your children if you've got lands and inheritance. And there's a modality that's clearly distinct from the fourth plank to the Communist Manifesto, which calls for inheritances to be passed to the state instead of to your children. And in the scripture, nothing is ever passed to the state. And it always goes to your children, and it's never passed to the church. Never, under any circumstances. All right, so inheritance, then we go to the next one here. It's called the Jubilee Year, or the Year of Jubilee. And that's another economic law that deals with agriculture. But once every 50 years, not only once every 7 years, but once every 50 years, we have to let the land rest. And any land that we've bought during that period of time goes back to the original owners. Isn't that a strange law? That's so that everybody in the country has land. And if he sells his land for one reason or another, it comes back to him at the end of 50 years. Unless he wants to change his inheritance from one location to another, that's another story for another day. But this Jubilee now is described in Leviticus 25, verses 8 through 55. Land Sabbath is Leviticus 25, verses 1 through 8 or 9, 1 through 7. That'll give you a good place to start. Now, the Jubilee occurs twice every 100 years. It occurs in 13 and 63. So 1913, 1963, 2013, 2063 will be your Jubilee years. These Jubilee years have been going on now since Joshua's time. That's when we practiced our first Jubilee, was back in the Promised Land, about 3,200 years ago. We don't practice those here in the Western world, haven't for hundreds of years, maybe even thousands. Now, I can't remember anybody ever practicing a Jubilee. I don't know that anybody even practices land Sabbaths, but that doesn't mean that we can't start. And now's as good a time as any to start. 2012 is going to be a land Sabbath year. I want you to start making plans for that. And then 2013 will be a Jubilee. And if we practice these land Sabbaths and Jubilees, there's a benefit. There's a reward that comes from it. And the reward is 100 times whatever it is that you lose by practicing this law over practicing the law of taxes. Now, I say that's a pretty good benefit. And the guy that said that he would give you that benefit is no one less than God Almighty himself. Sounds like a pretty good authority to me. Hey, I'm about to through the halfway point here, so let me remind you that you are listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and that we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order that by calling the Law School and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org, click onto the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website, which is georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about billions for the bankers and debt for the people. People of America are in debt now, showed you here in the last few programs. We owe $13 trillion on our national debt, $100 trillion on unfunded government obligations. You know, one of them is the payment of the Iraq and Afghan war. Congress has never voted a dime to pay for those wars. All of that's on the cuff. Our banks in this country have a product out there called derivatives. Those are insurance contracts on events. And they owe $1,000 trillion. Boys and girls, no way in hell that any of this is ever going to get paid back. And then in addition to that, you and I and everybody else out there owes, you know, for our big screen TVs and automobiles and house mortgages and all that. Now, you put all this together here and it's, starting to talk about some real money now. And there's a massive default coming, and people are getting nervous now. And they call here at the law school, oh, my God, Mr. Gordon, what am I going to do? And I said, well, there's a logical thing to do. If you don't want to pay somebody else's debt, then you don't want to go surety for them. Now, if you're a taxpaying U.S. American citizen, then you've gone surety for the banks. That's why you're bailing them out, an AIG and the rest of them. If you think that's a good idea, stick with the program. You got to win. If you don't think that's such a good program, then maybe you might want to opt out. The good part of it is you can opt out. And in fact, the creator of the universe suggests to you that you opt out in Revelation 18, verse 4. And he also told you you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. So if you'll look at Matthew 6, verse 24, compare that with Revelation 18, 4, I think that'll tell you a little bit more of the story. And in fact, he says, come out of her, my people, that you be not partaker of her sins. Don't participate in this program. Now, most people, you know, they went to kindergarten, then they went to public school, then they went on to college, and they've been pretty well brainwashed into practicing this commercial system. And it is a marvelous commercial system. I don't deny it. Now, it has to implode every so often. It's unsustainable. Everybody's telling you now that this is unsustainable. And it's in the process of imploding right now. Now, before it finishes the implosion and you end up out on the street, you might want to take some action ahead of time. What could I do ahead of time that might help me cushion this collapse? And quite a bit that you can do. And if you could look ahead and say, I think there's going to be a shortage of food, well, then you might want to stockpile two or three extra cans of pork and beans, wouldn't you? And if you could see that there's going to be a gasoline shortage, and if you could figure out that the gasoline shortage might last for, oh, say, 1, 2, 3, 4 years, well, then maybe you'd come up with a little different modality of transportation. Maybe living out in the country isn't such a good idea, and living a little closer to town might be a little better. Maybe a bicycle, motor scooter, or something on that order might fit in. In other words, if you knew what to prepare for, then you might be able to come up with a couple of three ideas of your own as to how you might solve that problem. Now, most people don't solve problems until there's a crisis, and then we go to work on it, hot and heavy. Kind of like the Titanic, you know. We didn't have a problem until we hit the iceberg. When you hit the iceberg, you had 2 hours and 20 minutes. 2 hours and 20 minutes. And probably, out of the 2 hours and 20 minutes, nothing more than maybe 60 minutes to solve the problem. And 60 minutes probably wasn't quite enough time. Let's take a look at just weights and balances here. I'm looking at number 66. Just weights and balances. I'm looking at a book here called The Mosaic Law. Some years ago, I wrote this. I code-plotted out the entire scripture. There's 133 subject matters of law in the Bible, 749 statutes, judgments, and commandments. And I know somebody's going to write me a letter now and say, oh, the Jews say there's 613. They're telling you the truth. There is. There's 613. Let me see how many more there are. And then there's 146 more. And then there could be more than 759. That's how many I found. And who's to say I found them all? And there might be 10 or 15 more that I missed. But I know there's at least 759. And so we got 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. God said, you practice these, and I'm going to give you these benefits. I'll make you the head, not the tail. I'll make everything that you put your hand to prosper, and everything will be just great. Now, one of the things that we have to practice here is hard money, just weights and balances. It's in Leviticus 19, 35, and 36, and Deuteronomy 25, verses 13 through 16. And he says, you shall not have in your bag diverse weights, a great and a small. You shall not have in your house diverse measures, a great and a small. But you shall have a perfect and a just weight, a perfect and a just measure shall you have. All right, a Federal Reserve note that costs 3 cents to print, and then trades for $100, says $99.97 worth of profit, 3 cents worth of cost. And that's a theft. Now, if you've got 2 ounces of gold at $50 each, that's $100. That's $100 worth of real money. And $100 worth of real money will buy as much as $2,600 of that fake money. So that works. And God says that he wants you to use solid, sound money. I gave you the hills to dig in and all the gold and silver in them. Go out there and go to work. The bankers have said, no, we're not going to work. And the people have said, we're not going to work either. Well, okay. Now, the banking system over here has led us to a point in time where we're on the verge of economic catastrophe. And the catastrophe is going to occur whether we like it or not. It's always occurred in the past, only this time, instead of just occurring once in one country and then once in another, it's going to occur to all of us worldwide. Let's try another one here. We've got land Sabbaths, and that's number 70 here. So I'll flip over here to number 70, land Sabbath. Remember, we had Jubilees here a minute ago. Over here in Deuteronomy 25, 1 through 7. Exodus 23, verses 10 and 11, it says, in 6 years you shall sow the land, and you shall gather in the fruits thereof, but the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie still, that the poorer of your people may eat, and that they may, and what they leave the beasts of the field shall eat. In like manner you shall deal with your vineyard and with your olive yard. That's the way you fertilize your ground. And so God has said, now I want you to fertilize your land, and when you do it, I want you to do it with this land Sabbath program. Now, maybe you're not a farmer, and you say, well, I'm not going to do that. Well, that's fine. You don't have to if you're not a farmer, but the land Sabbath affects debt. And if somebody owes you money, you have to forgive it. And next year, all of the banks, like Bank of America, they should forgive all the debt in the country. Do you think they're going to do that? That'll be a cold day in hell. Their intention is to make all of you people credit debt serfs forever. And if you want to participate in the program, remember Josiah Stamp, the former head of the Bank of England in 1920. He said, you stick with this program over here and you can have credit debt serfdom for life. If you like it, stick with it. Number 74 deals with lost and found. If somebody loses something and you find it, you got to give it back. Isn't that special? Exodus 22, verses 7 through 13. If a man delivers unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house. If the thief be found, then let him pay double. If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought to the judges to see whether he has put his hand unto his neighbor's goods. And there's three statutes that deal here with this concept or this idea, and that deals with lost and found property that has been stolen or lost or something on that order. Strict liability deals with insurance. Let me flip over here and I'll give you the scripture. Number 126. Nope, it's number 115. Number 115. Got 133 of these. And I can flip over here to number 113. Number 14, strict liability. Number 15. Strict liability. Now, what we're practicing here in America today is limited liability. Limited liability. He says here in Exodus 21, verses 28 through 36, there's a little story over here that deals with an ox. And if an ox gores a man or a woman that they die, then the ox shall be stoned. He goes on and talks a little bit more. And if the ox, if one man's ox hurt another man's ox that he die, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money. and then the dead ox they shall also divide and make soap out of it. Now, if I've got a, normal people up here, they've got insurance. They've got, they call that property liability insurance. Homeowner's insurance, sometimes they call it. So that if my bull up here knocks you down, hurts you, something like that, the insurance company pays you. And what God requires is that I pay you. That's called self-insurance. Now, I know you're probably pretty well convinced that insurance is the way to go, but okay, you go practice insurance, and you can go practice with the bankers because the Creator told you not to do that. And so the statute you're looking for is Exodus 21, 28 through 36. But there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5 statutes that deal with negligence and insurance and strict versus limited liability. Now, I've been practicing this strict liability now for quite a few years, and I mentioned this the other day, we're talking about insurance. I have some coffee cans, and I put my insurance premiums in the coffee cans, and I'm self-insured, and I just wait. And so, in 10 years' time, you put $12,000 a year into your coffee can. At the end of 10 years, you got $120,000. Now, with $120,000, boys and girls, you don't need insurance. If you got $120,000 in cash, you can take care of just about any medical problem that comes up, can't you? Now, number 119 deals with theft. Thou shalt not steal. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Leviticus 19:11, you shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. Deuteronomy 5:19, neither shall you steal. You shall not have in your bag diverse weights, the great and the small. You're asked now on TV, what's in your wallet? And then what's in most people's wallet? Wallets are credit cards. And those credit cards over there are theft. Tithes, number 120. Most people want to pay income tax. That takes about 42% in the upper bracket, 17% at the low end. God only requires 10%. 10. That's better than 17 and a hell of a lot better than 42. So I gave up on the income tax and Social Security. Those two taxes take 33% of everything you create and produce. Now, if you could give yourself a one-third pay increase, you'd live a lot better. You know that? I discovered that. I quit paying the income tax and Social Security. I started paying my tithes, first, second, third. Oh, my God. Now I've got more than I know what to do with. So I just want to pass that one on to you so you'd know. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 statutes on tithing. It's a part and parcel with the economic laws of the Scripture. 17 economic laws in the Scripture. God says, you practice all of my statutes. But boys and girls, if you'll practice these 17, these are the economic laws. If you practice the 19 health laws, you'll have good health. Practice the 17 economic laws, you'll have good money, good economics. You practice the 15 agricultural laws, and you'll have good crops. See how simple this is? Usury, number 123, says, hey, don't practice usury. And I've explained that one two or three times over here. There's not enough money out there to pay the usury. It appears that there is because a lot of us buy houses and pay them off. But when the money is brought into circulation, there's not enough money to pay the interest, just the principal. That means somebody's going to be a little short. And you people that are out there that are a little short, you're the guys that came up on the wrong end of the short end of the stick. The rest of us made our payment. I just wanted to pass this on to you. 100 people borrow the money. 3 or 4 people are going to fail on the loans, and then the bank is going to repossess them. 96 people are going to say, well, we made it all right. 4 people don't know what happened. And they just keep doing that over and over and over. Well, by the time they do that 25 times, they got all 100 properties. And that's just special. Wages. You got to pay your hired man at the end of every day. And don't cheat people out of their wages. You shall not defraud your neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with you all night until the morning. You know, the government wants to pass minimum wage laws. You know what that's all about? Minimum wage. That's so that you can't practice in gold and silver coin. You know, if I paid you $1 an hour, I would be in violation of the minimum wage law. If I paid you one silver dollar an hour, it would be worth $22 an hour, but I couldn't pay you one silver dollar an hour. And that's just special. Well, not if you had a Social Security number, because you're under wage an hour. I think I would rather work for $1 an hour in silver coin than I would to work for $10, $15, $20 an hour in paper. I'd rather work for a silver dollar an hour than 22 in paper because the taxes are 7-to-1 in my favor. The last one deals with work, W-O-R-K. The last item here in the book, it's number 133. Mainly it deals with the Sabbath. It's against the law to work on Saturday. Quit working on Saturday. I know you're sitting there saying, yeah, but I get time and a half on Saturday. I know. Yeah. And it'll make you real sad and you'll say, oh my God, I'm losing time and a half here. Give up the time and a half, and you'll make more money working straight time Sunday through Friday than you will working on Saturday. Now, most people argue with me and they say, well, that won't work. Boys and girls, I'm not here to convince you that you should practice these 17 economic laws of the scripture. I'm just here to tell you, I did it and it worked for me. And the creator of the universe is telling you, do it, and then it'll work for you. It's your conclusion that I don't think it'll work, but you don't know that because you never tested it. But I've tested both sides. See, I've worked out here in the marketplace, and I had my credit cards, I had my checking accounts, and I worked 7 days a week, and I violated and broke all 17 of these laws. And then I got a result that came from it. And I looked at that result, and I said, you know, I don't like this at all. I don't care for this outcome. And then when I saw these 17 laws, I said, I've never tested this. Here's God. He says it's a good plan, but I don't know that. So I said, well, let me give it a shot. And so I gave it a shot, and I'm here to make my report. It works like a shot. Let me show you how good it is. I used to work. I employed 30 people. And I produced about $100,000 a month in a manufacturing company. That was $1 million a year. And out of $1 million a year, I netted about 10%. And then I had a standard of living. You know, I drove a car, and I lived in a house, and I did all these things. And I'm here to report to you today that now I don't make $1 million a year. But what I make in gold and silver coin. And I showed you this a couple days ago. The gold coin that I make is worth more than the paper. And then I don't have to pay taxes on it. I pay tithes. So instead of paying 42% in tax, or instead of paying 16% in Social Security, I practice self-insurance, and I practice the tithing law. And when I get all through, I live just as well or better than making $1 million a year. And I contend that if it works for me, it'll work for you. But I'm out of time. So let me give you a final report here, final reminder, that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. Now, if you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has our radio log schedule and archive, and all of it can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, we're out of time. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.